All right, Reef Reeler fans, we're back.
We're back.
Back in action. No, we did not take a official sabbatical. We were in the midst of the season. And so wanted to touch base here on two different trips. The first one here we're going to talk about is the going shark fishing.
Shark fishing.
So this is a new experience for me. And then in the next episode, talk about running offshore solo and all the fun and excitement around that.
Yes, I can't wait to hear about that.
So the shark fishing, that was a pretty cool experience. So literally it was, I was down there looking for something to do. It was calling for it to blow up in the afternoon wind-wise. Right. But I was like, okay, well, if I can even go up flounder fishing or something,
right,
it'd be cool. Well, then another friend that's down there that fished with us on the White Marlin, he was down and said something about, hey, let's get together and maybe do some shark fishing. Oh, okay. You know, he's like, okay, do you have a gun? I'm like, well, not with me. And he, what for rods and reels? And, okay. And you need some big stuff for those guys.
Oh, yeah,
To handle them dancing around with the...
Oh, yeah. I mean, you never know. It could be a 3-footer. It could be a 5 or 6 footer, you know?
So I was like, okay, I got 150 with me. And so he brought another 50. So we hopped in the boat. Well, first we stopped. Shout out to Rick's Bait and Tackle and Long Neck.
Right on.
Hooked us up with a bucket of chum at like super early in the morning. Greeted him at the front door. Hey, we hooked us up with some chum and some other some like bunker spot, get it cut up, and then went down to Ocean City, launched the boat. It was daylight by now. I mean, it wasn't anything crazy, and
right.
I don't think the sharks really care about their morning bite or anything. They just want something bloody and good.
Yeah. Right.
So we went out. We our target was the Twin Wrecks, which was like 12 miles out from Ocean City. So not bad. I mean, it had some decent chomp in the morning. Probably cruised out at like 25, 26 miles an hour. Kind of like what we did when we went off. So we went out there. And then chum bucket. It's in a big white pail. Cut it. Actually poke holes in it all around. Tie a string hanging off the side. The thing starts to defrost, and it took a little while, probably a good hour, until we started seeing some good chum.
Right.
And we were drifting, so this was something of contemplation that, we were drifting a little over a mile an hour.
Okay.
Because it was a little windy. Should we have anchored up and kept that chum kind of close to us?
Right.
Or should we have done what we did and
make drift a slick.
And make a nice long slick? So there's two different theories out there what might have been the best to do.
Right.
So if anybody's listening and has experience with one or the other or can say this works better, we'd love to hear from you.
Right. And I even think that's too, maybe they make those big, those like drift parachutes, whatever, to slow you down so you kind of have the best of both worlds.
Yep.
So to say. And I would imagine too it would depend on the current. Because you got to think if your current's running hard too and the wind, you're going to blow even further away from it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, you want the slick to cover as much ground but not dissipate so much that it's fruitless. So we drifted and it slowly started to pick up with the seas as we were expecting it probably by noon to get pretty ridiculous.
Pretty gnarly.
So it was probably about 10 o'clock, 10:30. We finally started, the waves were starting to pick up and we could see the sharks like in the waves crossing across our back stern. And yeah, it was pretty cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So they were
super cool.
As we were in between the waves and watch it, you could see the shark go through. And then we actually had them starting to circle around, but we had we had one bite. And it was funny, so we had a lot of bluefish there too.
Okay.
The blues were heavy.
Right, yeah.
So we were dropping for blues for additional bait.
Right.
So we had a couple blues we hooked up and we live took them and threw them back in the water. And a couple others that we caught, blooded it up pretty good and get it back in the water to make a nice smear of...
Oh, yeah, and they're oily too, so they really... they really get it going.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. The water got bloody quick. So then I had a blue on, and I was reeling it up on the Penn 3000 reel.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, small little spinner.
Yeah.
Reeling it up, and I knew how to, you know, blue on there.
Right.
Came up, and all of a sudden, the reel goes zzzz.
Gone. Oh, man.
It just peeled off. So I quick go around the 250s in the back, and I go off to the side because it just took off.
Yeah.
And my friend Damien with me, he was like, oh, man, you got a shark on there.
Yeah.
So the blue must have been hooked, and then the shark
was just got opportunistic the blue.
And hooked wow. itself on. So this thing just peeled off a 3,000 in like...
Oh, did it just completely spool you?
Spooled, and all of a sudden I went to hold the drag when there was just a little bit left and...
Gone.
Killed the brake.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there had to be something decent on it. Now, the game would be if you're hooked on with a 50, start the boat and start chasing it down.
Right.
Because they could go for a very...
Forever. Long. Yeah, yeah.
They're pretty... they have some good endurance.
Right on.
So... We kind of made the call, like, do we chase this with a 3,000?
Yeah, I mean, at that point, you would be all over the ocean for hours.
Yeah.
If you can keep up with it.
Right, if you can keep up with it. I don't have a whole lot of line on that.
Yeah.
With 20-pound brain.
Right, yeah, it's not... Yeah. And plus, too, I'm sure you didn't have any kind of, you know, steel leader, nothing like that on, so...
Oh, no.
One shake of the head, it would have been off anyway, so...
Yeah, we hooked a good-sized shark on a Mid-Atlantic Sportsman high-low rig.
Nice.
So, thanks, Dave, for...
They catch everything.
Right. Oh, yeah. Phenomenal. Check them out, MidAtlanticSportsman.com or TheMidAtlanticSportsman.com.
Now, was that the same day that he caught his shark?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
So, that bastard got...
That was a big shark.
The shark of the lifetime. Just probably 15 miles north of us.
No shit.
So, they were out... I forget which... I don't know, out of Bibui, out of Delaware. So, that was probably 10 miles, 12 miles out.
Right.
And probably 15... miles north of us.
Yeah.
So he had he was able to pull in or slightly pull into the boat.
Yeah, almost got it all the way.
I think it was 528-pound pressure shark.
Yeah. I know it was in the fives, yeah.
It was a monster, and like he was just, I mean, yeah.
I remember I saw the picture.
Kid in the candy store.
And I was like, oh my gosh. And he was standing next to the shark. And he's a tall dude.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I feel like I'm kind of tall. But he makes me so short.
Yeah. He's
tall. And I'm like, oh my God, this shark's got to be huge. Like, because to put it in perspective, you know, he's already tall. And that was a big shark.
When I was hung up, right now, still holding first place at Indian River for the thresher shark. But yeah, like, when I was hung up, it made Dave look small.
Yeah, it was impressive. That was an impressive shark.
So they weren't even able to get in the boat. So those listening
here,
check them out, themidatlanticsportsman.com.
Yeah.
Dave makes great products, lures, custom lures. He had this shark on, and they could not even fit it in the boat. They couldn't physically get it into the boat.
They got to, like, ish onto the boat.
Yeah, they got the tail.
Yeah.
Some of the
they tied it off.
And he, I mean, it was it's the same size boat as what we have, 23 footer.
Yeah.
And he got as much through that rear door as he could. And,
which was just not a lot.
And he said he hauled it in about 10 miles an hour.
Yeah, that is insane.
And I couldn't imagine rolling into the dock with that big
that, and it's just like hanging off the back, like
big thresher tail.
Ain't care, just doing it. That is awesome.
So that's cool. Congrats, Dave. That was pretty phenomenal. I mean, it was cool for us just to have him circling. So it was cool to learn. Like, Damien's caught a lot of shark, real big in the sharking,
mm-hmm.
and so he kind of teaching the tricks and how to set everything up and
right.
Putting that all together, the shark rigs and whatnot. So that was pretty cool. So yeah, steel leader, big ass, I don't know, 8-9-0 hook.
Oh, just gigantic.
Gigantic hook. It was cool. Gun, needed.
Needed, yeah, needed. You got to.
So, you know, the whole theory is you reel them in, you get them close enough. One of the cool tricks he had shared was on the side of the boat because, you know, you have a shark, but you want to make sure it's a legal size.
Right.
You know, it's not like a tuna you get
it. You can pull it in, go measure it.
Get your picture with it, you know. Right.
Throw her back, keep it. So he's
like, take a tape measure on the side of your boat, on the rub rail, and just do like a little Sharpie mark on two spots. So at least you can get that thing up along the edge and say, yep, this is good.
We're good.
Or if it's questionable, you release it and
you go. It lives another day.
So that was pretty cool.
That's a good tip.
Yep.
Yeah.
In the heat of the moment, you don't want to be measuring.
I often wondered that. Like, you know, but that makes a lot of sense because I thought, do people like bring them in the boat and measure them or do they like hang off the side? Like, you know. Yeah.
Because he said they'll be thrashing like crazy. And when you get them that close, like, you want to, you know, try to make them get one pass close to make sure size wise you're good. Always air to, yep, it's plenty big, then I'll guess at it. So then once you have a comfort level, then you just whack it. You know, kill it, shoot it, get it calmed down because it's not going in the boat or near the boat until it's dead and known for sure it's dead.
Yeah.
Always carry a gun when you're shark fishing. It's crazy.
It's crazy, but needed.
Yeah. And that's not something you want to gamble with. So, pretty simple though, you know, create a lot of blood in the water, put a lot of meat in the water, create a slick, and for the most part stick within, you know, like your threshers and your mako are not necessarily going to be way out deep,
right?
You know, you can get the threshers and the mako within 3 to 10, 3 to 15 miles. And you make it bloody, you'll get them. And surprisingly enough, like Damien was saying, there's a lot of sharks.
I believe it.
A lot of sharks.
I believe it. People don't like to hear it. They don't want to think about it when they're at the beach, but there's a lot.
We probably had three or four just circling.
Yeah.
It's one of those things. It's kind of cool because if you are drifting or you're anchored up, like, shut the motor off, hang out. Like, it's a pretty low stress fishing.
Until it's not.
Until you hook up.
That's good. Yeah.
And it's nice too because, you know, going out 10, 12 miles, it's a 30-minute haul out.
Yeah, it's not bad.
You can still see land. Hell, we still have cell phone reception.
Yeah.
You know, so it's not bad at all. But that was pretty cool to go through that, learn some of those tips. So definitely want to get out and go sharking. So,
oh man,
that's coming up next for you.
But yeah, I'm down for it.
Get some sharking.
That's on the list. That's on my species bucket list. Is a shark of any variety.
Yeah.
Because my wife Katie is terrified of sharks.
Awesome.
Like, terrified.
Awesome.
Like, I won't even be able to tell her we're going shark fishing. Like, if she listens to this, she'll be like, "Oh no, you're not going next time." Like, but
That'd be cool. That'd be cool. So that was a sharking experience. Pretty simple. Steel leader, big ass hook. You know, it's nothing fancy. You gotta have big reels though. You gotta have plenty of drag.
Yeah.
So 50 is probably the smallest you want to use. 50s, 80s be perfect.
Yeah.
You don't need a whole lot though. Like, it's not like you're dropping a spread of 7 rods down.
Right. Yeah. You're just having 1 or 2 out.
3. It's nothing much. Because last thing you want to do is have everything hook, and you're going to peel off reels because you
double or triples, you can only go one direction. Yeah. So I could imagine.
It's pretty low stress. It's pretty fun. It's bloody on the boat. It's like one of those where
you hose it down every half hour.
Yeah, you keep it clean.
Scrub it when you get back. Yep.
Yeah, it's dirty. It's a dirty one, but it's cool. So shark fishing, if anybody else has any tips, feel free to send it to us in a message or email. If you have any questions around what we did, how we did it, we'll be glad to answer any of those. Trying to think. So that was our sharking experience thus far. None boated, more to come.
Oh boy.
Habs, anything to add?
No, I think that's it.
Cool.
Just excited.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Ready to get down there.
Do it.
And do it.
Yeah.
So, that wraps up this podcast. Next one, we're going to talk about taking a small-ass boat 40, 50 miles out by yourself and what to prepare for and how to mentally psych yourself up for this.
You probably shouldn't do.
And what you shouldn't do. So, all right, guys. Catch you later.